This Week in Agriculture is a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at This Week in the Markets, I'm Jamie Dickerman. Corn and soybeans pulled back. Wheat continued to find some support early in the week. Van On & Company market analyst Christy Van On says the latest USDA crop ratings and key chart resistance levels encourage traders to step to the sidelines.
Yeah, it's been quiet. I think you had crop conditions just kind of give a little bit of a pause to this market for corn and soybeans. Nothing too crazy, but I think just in general, some risk off. And to be honest, this is levels that should pause the market. You're at 50% retracement on December corn, which is 466. We're at 460 right now. And then for November beans, $12 has been very difficult to get through. Got through it yesterday and then kind of failed at it. Now around 1191 and a half. So, you know, not surprising to see a little bit of pause here, but we do have wheat markets continue to find some support here. Chicago wheat up 9.5, Minneapolis wheat up 3.25, and Kansas City wheat up 8.25.
Renewed fighting between the U.S. and Iran added fresh uncertainty to the commodity markets. Total Farm Marketing Senior Market Advisor Naomi Bloom said the weather remaining the primary driver, but tensions in the Middle East also influencing the trade.
The market for the grain side of things had taken war premium out of the prices. So now with things heating up again in the Middle East, just something to be aware of. For crude oil, we're trading near $75 right now, and $80 is going to be resistance. So whatever transpires this week and this weekend is definitely something to be in tune with as well, because the grain markets, you know, part of today's rally may be a little bit of war premium going back into grains, but I think for the most part it is the weather forecast. But yeah, keep an eye on the Middle East. Always something happening over there.
The Black Sea region also became a hot spot of activity, and CHS hedging market analyst Ryan Kelbrand says that definitely pushed the wheat market to some high levels.
Wheat prices continue to climb as fighting between Russia and Ukraine escalates. You know, Ukrainian forces have been expanding strikes against Russian targets, you know, raising the potential for disruptions of regional trade flows, and then there's been reports of some Russian attacks on some Ukrainian port infrastructure as well. So that's got markets running up as well. And, you know, these warmer and drier conditions we're seeing across many of the major growing areas continues to, I think it lends some underlying support. I know that some of the forecasts are calling for cooler temperatures and some additional moisture beginning late this week into next week. And there's still some optimism. You know, we've seen daily flashes of soybeans going to China. So there's some surrounding the trade relations is also providing, I believe, some additional support to the grain and oilseed complex today, too.
USDA's July WASDE report raised some questions after projecting 1.35 million metric tons of sugar imports from Mexico. American Sugar Alliance Director of Economics and Policy Analysis, Dr. Rob Johansson, said that figure widely misunderstood.
In July, USDA calculates the balance sheet so that we end up with a stocks to use ratio of 13.5. And the way it does that is it adjusts Mexico exports higher or lower so that we hit that 13.5 number. And then what's called the Mexico export limit, and that's what is more important to think about, that export limit in July is 50% of that number. It's only 673,000 tons. It's not the 1.3 million tons that people assume by looking at the WASDE.
As USDA gains a better understanding of U.S. sugar production and demand, those estimates will be revised in future WASDE reports. That's a look at This Week in the Markets. I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
Boost your crop's health with Domark 230 ME and Badge SC fungicide exclusively from Gowan USA. Domark's systemic action teams up with Badge's outstanding mixing properties for unbeaten disease control on sugar beets and dried edible beans. Experience the power of two different modes of action with Domark and Badge. Don't wait. Contact your local ag retailer and ask about Domark 230 ME and Badge SC. Always read and follow label directions. From Gowan USA.
Harvest Hotline brings you daily updates with farmers, custom harvesters, elevator managers, and more. Get the latest on harvest progress, yields, and what's happening in the field. Harvest Hotline can be heard weekdays at 12:37 during Agriculture Today. Harvest Hotline brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, North Dakota Mill, and U.S. Custom Harvesters. We're the Red River Farm Network, reporting agriculture's business.
This Week in Agriculture, a presentation of the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick. The House Budget Committee has approved a budget reconciliation bill with a party line 2014 vote. With this massive $95 billion plan, the House Agriculture Committee has been directed to develop up to $12 billion in a farm assistance package. Congress faces a packed agenda before the August recess, but ag priorities remain in play. Russell Group President Randy Russell says momentum continues to build for economic assistance for agriculture.
In fact, the House is going to start marking it up later this week about doing another what we call reconciliation bill. They're calling it Reconciliation 3.0. And all that means is that you could, assuming you can get it through, is you only need a party line vote, majority vote, to get it through the House and Senate. I remain a little bit suspect whether there will be another reconciliation bill that can get all the way through the House and the Senate and get to the president's desk. But as part of the proposal that they're considering over in the House, there's $67 billion for the military, and there's about $11 billion in there for additional farm assistance.
The big picture issues facing agriculture today are more difficult to predict and more challenging to manage. CHS Executive Vice President Gary Halverson is watching the trends closely.
The dramatic shifts in the rise of more and more production coming on in Brazil, the change in diet because of Make America Healthy, and we see that in consumption patterns, the smallest U.S. cattle herd since 1951, and the new renewable volume obligations that this administration just put forward are all fundamentally individually significant, but collectively have massive influences on how we think about ag.
The State Senate Agriculture Committee spent 2 days touring farms and agribusinesses in western Minnesota this past week. Ranking Minority Member Tori Westrum is impressed with the innovation happening in the region.
One exciting thing that's happening in Minnesota, right in Stevens County, Morris, Minnesota, is the first milk processing plant that's being built new in our state in over 50 years. We've had several in the past, some that have expanded, but this is the first new expansion or new milk processing plant in our state in over 50 years. And so it's well underway. We were able to tour that as an ag committee and just see what this means for our state. That means more cows and more milk production, more jobs to process that product right here in Minnesota rather than ship it out.
The new president of North Dakota State University getting a lot of windshield time. Marshall Stewart attended all of the NDSU Research Extension field days over the past 2 weeks.
You've got great infrastructure, great talent here. The agricultural scientists, the research and extension specialists that really do the work and do the demonstrations are just incredible. I've had the wonderful opportunity to be in multiple states, see this across Missouri, Kansas, North Carolina. You're right at the top. So I think that's something that speaks well for North Dakota, for the commitment to agriculture, the importance of agriculture in this state, and we at NDSU are glad to be a partner with you on that.
A busy time across the country this week for agriculture. The Cattle Industry Summer Business Meeting took place in Denver. Corn Congress with the National Corn Growers Association in D.C. The American Soybean Association also with their Washington, D.C. meetings this week as well. I'm Don Wick. This Week in Agriculture.
Disease can impact that corn crop weeks before it can be seen, which means a wait-and-see approach is waiting too long. BASF business rep Nick Regenball promotes a proactive strategy with Valtima fungicide.
As the weather and the wind patterns change, that disease pressure is just going to push farther north. And yeah, especially with the weather we've seen and the stress that the plant's been under, I think this year would be just a great year to try it.
With application flexibility like no other, Valtima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label instructions. Listen to the Dry Bean Scene every Friday here on the Red River Farm Network, brought to you by the North Harvest Bean Growers Association, Johnstown Bean Company, Gowan Company, SRS Commodities, and Heads Up Plant Protectants. We'll track this year's crop potential across the country and get industry perspectives on possible market impacts. It's the Dry Bean Scene every Friday, 12:35, right here on the Red River Farm Network.
Weekend weather on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Chloe Wadd. As the northern Minnesota fires create hazy skies and poor air quality, a slow-moving front is bringing some relief to the northern areas, where highs will stay in the 80s, while southern locations continue to bake in the 90s. A few spotty showers are possible in northern counties, but most of the region remains hot and dry. Disease pressure is beginning to shift across Minnesota's small grain crop. Recent heat, spotty rainfall, and drier forecast are reducing the risk of fusarium head blight or scab. However, bacterial leaf streak is widespread under the hot, humid, and windy conditions. At Annetta, North Dakota, Fred Lukens has some barley that could reach up to 100 bushels to the acre. However, that won't happen if the heat continues.
I mean, the heat is going to impact that too, because they're just starting flowering for 5 or 6 days. For right now, we're in good shape. Let's hope we don't get 2 weeks of 100 degree temperatures, and that wouldn't be so good.
Hot temperatures are arriving as many cornfields across North Dakota and Minnesota enter pollination. South Dakota State University research shows a severe heat and drought during pollination can cut yields by 3 to 8% per day. With highs expected to remain in the 90s this week, growers will be watching for cooler weather and timely rainfall to help protect yield potential. But Peterson Farms seed corn product manager Rick Swenson isn't sounding the alarm just yet. He says most corn across the region is only beginning to tassel, with pollination still several days away. Swenson says recent rainfall has provided much-needed moisture, limiting concerns for now. However, if the hot pattern continues without additional rain, moisture stress could become a bigger issue as pollination ramps up.
Really, with a lot of this stuff not pollinating, you know, till later in the week or even next week, I'm actually not too concerned about it. As far north as we are, we typically don't have issues with pollination, so it's something we'll definitely keep an eye on. But in a positive note, I mean, the corn needed the heat to kind of push us along, so I feel pretty good about where we're at. And not only that, other than a few areas, a fair amount of us actually had pretty decent moistures.
As the heat is taking a toll on the crops, Sean McCoy of McCoy Seed at Northwood, North Dakota, says the stress has been compounded by the warm overnight temperatures. The heat is also not good news for canola.
With probably all of the canola either finishing early stuff, maybe finishing flowering, or early canola just getting going, but this is not ideal for that. So hopefully, I mean, it looks all right, but hopefully it's able to get some moisture and make it through.
While some areas have benefited from timely rainfall, others remain locked in drought. Custom harvester Tate Hill says crop conditions can change dramatically from one part of the state to the next.
Well, one part of the country, it's really looking good, and then the next part, it's a drought. I mean, it's one extreme to the other, it seems like, out there. Towards like Washington Springs, kind of in that area, they're pretty dry in some spots there. I know a couple guys that live out there, and they're running cattle on pasture, and they can have a whole section, and they're lasting about 7 days on that section, and then they're moving them.
Looking into central Minnesota, hay harvest is in its second cutting. Despite the weather, Jason Parker in Long Prairie, Minnesota, says this year is going well.
We were faced with, if we didn't get first cutting up early, there was significant rain delays. Some of it we got up early, some of it was after the rain. Some second cutting was delayed, but now we've came into a good weather system the last 6 or 7 days here in central Minnesota, and production is going well. Some of the grasses are a little bit late, but yields are above normal.
The extreme heat is also putting added pressure on poultry flocks across the region. According to University of Minnesota Extension, chickens cannot sweat and rely on panting to cool themselves. During prolonged hot weather, birds often eat less, leading to slower weight gain, lower egg production, and greater health risks. That's your weekend weather report on the Red River Farm Network.
U.S. Custom Harvesters, harvesting the crops that feed the world. To locate a custom harvester, visit the U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated website, uschi.com. You'll find a directory of custom harvesters ready to assist you with this harvest. Call 620-200-1381. That's 620-200-1381. U.S. Custom Harvesters. You can also check them out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Find out more at uschi.com.
From the Northern Plains to South America, World Weather Incorporated senior meteorologist Drew Lerner is your trusted source for agricultural weather.
Precipitation-wise, we're not looking at much moisture. Well, yes, we will have a few more spits and spats turning around in the afternoon, though, and starting a warming trend. We'll see accelerated drying occurring across the region. And yes, precipitation is going to be minimal, so the ground will firm up aggressively across the region. It still will be...
Drew Lerner, only on the Red River Farm Network.